Good to see you this morning. We're thankful so much that God has blessed us with this opportunity to be able to worship Him, to pray and sing, to give and remember His death at His table, and to read now and to meditate upon and learn from His Word. We're welcoming to our guests. We appreciate that you're with us. Hope you can return, and we look forward to that opportunity. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to encourage you to respond in faith to Jesus and obey His gospel in that faith to receive the blessing that He provides of remission of sins because of His redemptive work. And if you're a Christian, if there's sin that needs to be addressed in your life according to God's Word, of course, we're to be examining ourselves all the time. If we find sin, God teaches us to confess it, to repent of it, and He's faithful and just to forgive us. If we can help you in that as well, at the end of our lesson today, we want to encourage a response for you in your life to be right with God. That's our intent, is simply to know and then to do God's will. And we believe that in His Word, He teaches us that, and we are confident that God does not deceive us. The title of our lesson this morning is Do Not Be Deceived, because that is a warning repeatedly given by God in His Word to us, necessarily implying we can be deceived. And because we are subject to deception, we must inform, educate ourselves, equip ourselves to avoid being deceived. Why do we put bait on a fish hook? Well, to lure the fish and to deceive him, to ensnare him. Why do you wear camouflage if you're a hunter? It's to deceive. It's to mislead. It's to not be detected so as to achieve your goal, your objective of killing the game. Well, it's the same concept. We know what it means to be deceived. To accept as true or valid what is in fact false and invalid. Counterfeit money is circulated by criminals because they wish to deceive and benefit from that deception. We can think of all sorts of types and ways of deception that occur. The point that is used in Scripture is that we can be deceived about the most important thing of all, and that is our soul salvation, divine truth, the choices we make in our lives relative to God. And so the idea of being deceived implies that there's a false idea put before us, that if we believe it, in fact, it leads us into ignorance, into bewilderment, into helplessness. When the fish is beguiled, deceived by the baited hook, he's caught and he's helpless. You see, well, that happens to us. And God says, I don't want it to happen to you. The Bible uses some synonyms, and we use them in our language. Beguile implies the idea of being led astray in an underhanded sort of a way, to be charmed or persuaded, and so deceived, misled, as somebody might be beguiled by false promises, false hopes. We use the word misled. You know, somebody can be misled intentionally or unintentionally. We can lead somebody unintentionally the wrong way. Somebody asks us for directions to a place. We may, in all good conscience, give them directions that we think are correct, but lead them off in the wrong direction. Now, were we intending to deceive them? No. But we ended up misleading them nevertheless. That happens spiritually as well. A lot of people with good intentions give directions they believe will lead somebody in a proper way, but in fact, according to the Scriptures, which are inspired by God and profitable to complete us to every good work, go in an opposite direction or a different way. And so God calls us to not be deceived, even if it's not intended. The idea of delusion implies the idea of a thoroughness of that deception, to be thoroughly obscured from what is accurate and what is true. People can sometimes be, we say, deluded into thinking they're safe when in fact they're in danger. Just to obscure what is real, what is true. And that's why we chose 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17 as our reading this morning. And Brother Dan noted accurately the contrast that's made there in the first part of that chapter to Timothy. And in fact, he continues that contrast by demonstrating and setting before not only Timothy but us a choice. We can choose the deception of loving ourselves and loving money and being proud and being unloving to others and so forth, as the first part of that chapter describes. Or we can choose, like Timothy, to carefully follow the doctrine of the apostles. And as he goes on to describe in verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you've learned. It was not enough for Timothy to begin to carefully follow what Paul had taught him, but to continue doing that. Now, the choice set before us is either to do that by knowing and applying inspired Scripture, or be deceived by some lesser message that deludes, beguiles, misleads, deceives us into a wrong direction. And so Paul, God repeatedly warns us, do not be deceived. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll have part two of this study and talk about the possibility of deceiving ourselves. But this lesson, we want to especially look at some particular sources of deception that God warns us against. And remembering that this passage, our reading this morning, has told us if we will go to inspired Scripture, they will never deceive us, that they will correctly direct us so that we can avoid the deceptions that God warns us are out there and that we are susceptible to. Now, unless we accept that we're susceptible to deception, then this lesson won't be of much use to us. If we think we're above deception, we think we got it all down pat, then you know the lesson won't mean much for you. But I hope that that's not the attitude of any one of us as we consider what God says on this matter. Because if we are, we've already been deceived by sin. Sin, of course, and this is a broad topic when we use sin in this most general way, but repeatedly we are taught that sin, which is omitting what God wants us to do as well as doing what God says not to do, it's both of those. If we don't do what God says we ought to be doing, that's sin, James 4 and verse 17. We leave out God's will from our life. We're not following God. We're following sin, serving sin. Or doing what God says do not do. That's sin, 1 John 3 and verse 4. Sin's deceptive. And we have to acknowledge that to ourselves before we will ever be careful not to be deceived. That sin can deceive me. It can deceive you. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, the Word of God says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Any of you may be hardened. Any one of us can develop an evil heart of unbelief, verse 12, in departing from the living God. And so he says, that's the deceptive consequence of sin, is our heart becomes hardened and unbelieving and we depart from God. Oh yes, a Christian can depart from God. And with an evil heart of unbelief, we won't be saved, because unbelievers have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, the second death, Revelation 21:8. We cannot say that a Christian who develops an evil heart of unbelief is going to heaven anyway. That makes Scripture contradict Scripture, and God won't deceive us about it. We need to stop deceiving ourselves about that, but or letting others deceive us about that, and we'll get to some of that in a minute. Romans 7:11 said, Paul talked about sin deceiving him or beguiling him. And in that verse, he said, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. The deception of sin is it kills us spiritually, separates us from God. And so James warns us about sin's temptation and yielding to it, because he said, when sin is conceived, it brings death. When we yield to temptation, he says, the desire conceives and gives birth to sin, and the sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Sin is powerful. So powerful it kills us spiritually. And again, if it kills us spiritually, and he's talking to Christians being killed spiritually, we're in jeopardy. And that needs to be corrected through repentance, through a changed heart and a changed life. You see, we can be deceived by sin that it satisfies us. Sin appeals because it appears to be satisfying. It's camouflaged in that way. Titus 3 and verse 3, as an illustration to the point and application, Paul said, we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You see, sin camouflages itself as self-justification, as even it camouflages itself as obedience, when in fact it's disobedience. As it serves various lusts and pleasures. That is, the lusts of sin, the pleasures of self and of the flesh, rather than the will of God. So sin offers itself as a plate full of, a buffet of delights, to fill yourself to the full, as if it satisfies. But it leaves us starving. It's deceptive. Sin presents itself as giving permanent pleasure. How many people are deceived by sin's momentary pleasure, thinking that it lasts? And so they end one marriage to start another. Or they go from one sin to another sin to another sin. Why? Because the sin doesn't satisfy. It doesn't give permanent satisfaction. The pleasures of sin last but a season. And Moses was wise enough to understand that. Hebrews 11:25. But Satan still uses that tactic to try to deceive us into accepting the pleasure of sin, thinking it's going to last beyond what it really does. And in fact, what it really brings, which is it kills us. It brings death spiritually. It deceives us by thinking that there are no eternal consequences when we sin. Because, you see, of course, it deceives us into thinking it's not really sin. And if there's not really sin, there's not really consequences. And, of course, it deceives us by saying there's not really a God, there's not really a devil, there's not really a heaven, there's not really a hell. And if there is a heaven, everybody will go there anyway, and only the most vile will go to hell. Removing us completely from the inspired Scripture that teaches us the truth about those things, to the yearning that we have within us that we don't want there to be eternal consequences to the sinful choices we or those we love make. And yet truth teaches us that there are. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, truth, God's Word, says, and note, He puts it in this context of deception. 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now that tells me we can be deceived. We can think the unrighteous will go to heaven. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, and the like. Galatians 5, 20 and 21. Will inherit the kingdom of God.
And such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, and justified. You were that, now you're this in Christ, but what if you go back to the filth of sin? 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22 says, you return to the vomit. It were better for you not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the way of truth.
Deception. Sin deceives us to not look at the consequences, to see the moment rather than where it takes us.
To think sin is not punished by God, not seen by God. God is not mocked. Whatever, again, it says, do not be deceived.
God is not mocked. If we allow sin to convince us that we will escape its punishment, then we not only deceive ourselves and are being deceived by sin, but we mock God.
Amen. That sin must cease. Sin deceives us. And we have to see that and recognize that very clearly every day. When we talk about rejecting sin, refusing sin, examining ourselves concerning sin, we've got to understand the nature of sin. It is deceptive. And we have to see very clearly with the eyes of divine truth and faith that's established by truth, Romans 10, 17, so that we cannot be deceived. Well, now, part and parcel with that is there are a lot of warnings about not being deceived by false teachers in the Scriptures. I know for some people, that's a very bad, even mean thing to say, that somebody would be a false teacher. Oh, that's judging. You shouldn't do that. There's the deceptive nature of sin again. Because Jesus warns about it. He does. Matthew 24, here is warning. There, as some would bring their deceptions. He said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now he's talking about the end of the temple in Jerusalem in Matthew 24. He's not talking about the end of the world. Other verses teach about that. He's talking about these things that they see will be torn down, verses 1 and 2. And there'd be false teachers coming and saying, here's the Christ, I'm the Christ.
People would be deceived. Verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many.
Do we think there are no false prophets today? No such deception? The devil just said, no, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Verse 24, for the false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Well, wait a minute. Some people have the idea that if you're the elect, you can never lose your soul. But that verse says that even the elect can be deceived. Now, if the elect are deceived, that means they follow what is false. Now, can we follow what is false and go to heaven? See, things are out of balance. The elect, that is God's people. That's what that means. We've been elected by God because God's chosen to save us in Christ. And in faith, we follow Jesus. But if we turn from Jesus and follow deceptive teachings, then we have no confidence in Christ because we're not in Christ, we're in error. Don't be deceived, he said. Idea that Christians can't be deceived and lose their souls because of that deception is itself a false doctrine that of which you cannot and must not be deceived, or by which you must not be deceived. Chapter 2 and verse 26, 1 John 2 and verse 26, "These things I have written you concerning those who try to deceive you." Now you may think, well, Joe, he's trying to deceive me right now. That's okay, you think I am. But how are you going to know the difference? If you think I'm deceiving you right now, then bring the Scripture to bear to demonstrate the deception. Because we can feel all sorts of things. But John said, "I'm writing this to you concerning those who try to deceive you." So what you need to do is go to the writings of John and the other apostles and demonstrate the deception. And then identify the deceiver. Chapter 4 and verse 1. "Test the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Don't accept it simply because someone claims to be a speaker, a spokesman for God. There are a lot of false ones out there. So test and examine them by what? By what's been written. Verse 6. "We are of God." We, the apostles, is John's apostolic we. "He who knows God hears us. He who doesn't know God doesn't hear us. By this you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." One of the sources of great deception in this world are false teachers. The camouflage is to convince us that their teachings conform to the faith. And yet, false teaching does not conform to the faith that has been once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3. The Spirit says expressly, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Don't be deceived by the error of false teachers, of deceiving spirits that bring a spirit of conformity to truth and yet a message that denies it. Now, how are you going to know the difference? Go to the revealed faith. Go to what has been written and examine the Scriptures whether these things are so. We can be deceived by the error of false teachers because they claim that their teachings come from Christ. I'm the Christ. I'm an apostle. I'm a spokesman of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:1 says, "Brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it was from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means." He said, there's some who are writing letters to you. There's some who bring a spirit that they would claim as from God. There are some who are speaking to you as if we've endorsed them. Don't be deceived by messages that do not conform to what the apostles of Jesus actually taught. Peter, 2 Peter 3, he turned our attention back to theirs and ours, back to the holy apostles, prophets and apostles of Jesus Christ. See, the deception of false teachers can come at us this way. It can come at us by saying, well, nobody can be sure about the truth. That's part of the deception of the false teacher. If they can't convince you for sure about what they're saying, we'll try to convince you that, well, you know, can't really be sure what truth is anyway. Jesus said we could. Christ's apostle said we could. 1 John 3 and verse 7, John said, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." Now, we can't practice righteousness unless we know righteousness. But if we can't know righteousness, then we can't practice righteousness like Christ is righteousness. Like Christ is righteous. He said, don't be deceived. Don't let somebody tell you you can't have the righteousness that's according to faith. that you can't practice that? How do you do that? Chapter 2:29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. The righteousness that we practice is what the Spirit of God has revealed. He would convict the world of righteousness. John 16:8 says, He will guide you into all truth. He guided the apostles into all truth. The way of righteousness. So Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. John 8:32. The false teacher says, no, can't be sure about that. And open the door to compromising truth, compromising with sin. That's its deception, to deceive us to think that they're servants of God when they're not. Time fails us to look at those verses. That all goes together. The angels, to give appearance as an angel of light, as if they're serving Jesus. Paul warned about them, 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Let's study for just a minute about the deception of human wisdom. That in itself could be an entire study. The important one, Colossians 2 and verse 8, it says, lest anyone cheat you. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. There's our word. According to the tradition of men. According to the basic principles of the world. And not according to Christ. Well, it's always been done that way. That's a tradition. That doesn't mean it's from God. The basic principles of the world are not the principles of Christ. But the wisdom of man elevates ourselves within our own minds and within the minds of others. And they can be persuasive. It can be persuasive. Verse 4, this I say to you, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Persuasive words. We're warned. Can be deceptive. I think that, in fact, as we talked about Apollos, he was eloquent and he was mighty in the Scriptures. He was a persuasive speaker, but you see, he persuaded with Scripture. What if he hadn't been mighty in Scriptures? He'd just been eloquent. Well, there were some like that. Paul addresses them in 1 Corinthians 1. The wisdom of man, the wisdom of the world, that's not of God. All in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 and verse 3. So we come back at every turn. We come back to Jesus. We come back to His Word, to His will. Anything you know about Jesus, you're going to know in His Scriptures. And in Him, through these inspired Scriptures, you have all things that pertain to godliness. We are fully equipped to every good work, the verse said in our reading, 2 Timothy 3:17. So don't be deceived by the wisdom of men that sounds persuasive, but are empty words. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Vain and void and fruitless concerning God's truth. Beware of smooth words that beguile the hearts of the simple or the naive. We need to be wise as serpents as well as harmless as doves. Romans 16, 17 says, and 18 in fact says, verse 18, those who are of such, that is, those who cause divisions, contrary to the apostolic doctrine that you learned, those who are such are not, they don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They want you to think they do. He said they don't serve Jesus, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, maybe that's one of the problems. That sometimes we fall into deception. We don't really want to admit to ourselves that we were so gullible. And pride hinders us from simply admitting that we've been deceived, that we were led astray, that we were misled, that we were beguiled, that we were wrong. Human wisdom deceives us. More on that point tonight, I suspect. But we can be deceived by religious fervor. You know, we can see religious zeal that's without knowledge and understand intellectually that doesn't please God, but it can have an impact. It can deceive us if we're not careful. We can be deceived by it. Look at Colossians 2:18. Let no one cheat you of your reward. Taking delight in false humility and working of angels, intruding into these things that he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding fast to the head. He warns us of this, of being cheated of our reward. People will bring messages of worshiping angels and so on. He said he's talking about the beginning stages of Gnosticism in his day. But today people bring us their testimonials, their experiences. They bring us their visions. They bring us their emotion. They bring us their eloquence. And it can deceive people. To accept that over a thus saith the Lord. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Religious fervor can begin to deceive us and lessen our dependency upon the inspired Scripture. I mean, do we not know the devil is fervent? Do we not know that his servants are zealous? That doesn't determine truth. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by evil associations. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Again, the warning is, do not be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Let me just throw these points up and then I'll come back to Proverbs. Where we live, understand, that can have an impact. The evil influences where we choose to live. Lot set his sights toward and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And he was vexed and distressed by their ungodliness. 2 Peter 2. Sad story. Where we live can have an impact. An evil impact. Where we work. People can begin to influence us to sin against God. It has an impact. Don't be deceived. Evil companionships at work can destroy good morals. Where we play, don't be deceived. Can destroy having the mind of Christ and instead insert for the mind of the world. So, now go back to Proverbs. With me. Proverbs 12 and 26. It says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. I think that's very appropriate for the present age. It always is appropriate. But parents, you see that with the influences that the world is injecting into the education of your children, the entertainment of your children, and of yourself, ourselves. Choose your friends carefully. The way of the wicked leads us astray. Don't be deceived. Well, that's the lesson this morning. As God reminds us, Jesus, remember, said, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed. That means wake up, be alert, be aware, or you'll be deceived. Do that so no one will deceive you. Therefore, Paul wrote, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And that is a segue into our study tonight, because you see, that verse warns us not to deceive ourselves. Let him who thinks he stands. Be careful. You may in fact be on the precipice. And so tonight, Lord willing, we're going to study from God's Word about deceiving ourselves. If you're not a Christian, then as kindly as we know how to say, we want to say to you that you're living in the deception of sin. Satan to this point has deceived you. But the call of the gospel is to come out of that darkness of deception into the light of divine truth and salvation. To have faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and in dying for you, He provided a sacrifice so your sins can be forgiven. And if you'll believe that and confess that and change your heart toward God and toward sinning against Him, if you'll repent and be baptized into Christ, His blood will wash your sins away. You'll have remission of sins, and He'll add you to His church, and you can serve Him in truth and in righteousness. If you're a Christian, if sin has deceived you, understand the call of the gospel is not to stay there, but to confess it to the Lord, to repent. And we want to help you accomplish that in your life. If you need our prayers, if you need to set things right in a public way, use this opportunity. Respond to God's call while we stand and sing.